So we're on week two of our series on blessings. My title for this morning, bit of a long one, being an apprentice of Jesus is an enormous blessing. Baptism is a sign of this wonderful blessing. And we're going to be looking at the study of the scriptures that we had. Uncle Ken's funeral was 4 days ago in South Wales, Cwmbran. My uncle had a really tough childhood. His dad died aged 12. And his mum couldn't cope. She lost the will to live. And so he, Ken, led the family. And he did the accounts and all that kind of stuff. And because he had two younger sisters. He went to the local Methodist Sunday school. He learnt the stories, but he never said yes to Jesus when he was a kid. At 19, he had the opportunity to start training as a mental health nurse. Well, he knew lots about mental health, and he thought, I'm going to try and do that. Of which he did, and he ended up in charge of mental health resources for South Wales. When he was in his mid-30s, he decided that he needed more from life, that something was really missing. And he remembered his days back in the day when he used to go to the Methodist church. And he thought, I'm going to find a church to go to. And he went and looked around various churches, and when he found one, and he sensed God there, he said, that's for me. And from his, for the rest of his life, he followed Jesus. He asked Jesus into his life, he got baptized, and he lived the Jesus way. His wife never became a Christian. His daughters did, and many other people as well, because of his influence. He had a saying. His number one saying was, and it was at the funeral, think lovely thoughts. Think lovely thoughts. The kind of thing you'd expect a mental health expert to say, isn't it? Of course it is, because it helps your mental health. But it also gives you spiritual resistance and helps you live that hope-filled life. The Bible talks a lot about how we think. 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, not just when things are good, but when things are bad. It's particularly important when it is tough. It's not wishful thinking. It's based on the character and nature of God, who overflows with blessings towards us. His bountiful goodness. It's difficult to comprehend how great, how generous, how awesome God is towards each one of us, whether we follow him or not. It puts a brake on the thinking, I did it my way. It puts a brake on the thinking, I'm going to trust God if you already are a Jesus follower in that area, but I'm certainly not going to trust God there in that area. And I might trust him, maybe, not quite sure, in that area. Oh, yeah, and that, well, he can, that's fine. I'll trust him with that. Ever been there? Of course you have. What might that look like practically? Well, let me give you a couple of straightforward examples straight away. On a morning between 7:15, I go with one of my middle kid. We go on a praise walk every morning, except on a Sunday. Don't praise on a Sunday. No, that's not true. We go on a praise walk, and what we do, and most days it's raining, so we call it an umbrella walk, and it literally is. But what does that involve? Well, you're walking along, you say, okay, what can we praise God for today? Well, praise God for the rain tapping on the umbrella. We praise God for the umbrella. We praise God for the way the water, when the raindrops go on the puddles, and it sort of springs up. And you praise God for the crocuses and the different types of daffodils. And you're walking along, and gradually your thinking starts to change because you're on a praise walk, thanking God for all the blessings that we all receive. And that can really help, especially if going to school is not your favorite thing to do. Praise walk. Maybe this week you should book in your Google Calendar 20-minute praise walk at lunchtime. Don't have the pork pie, have the walk. That reminds me, yesterday I had a pork pie. This is nothing to do with it, I just want to tell you this. For the first time ever, me and the kids went to see Chippenham Town Football Club. It was an experience. We all learned some new words. And very loudly. First half, Dover scored at the other end, so we couldn't see anything. There was only one shot from Chippenham Town, and it hit the crossbar. That was it. 45 minutes of that. Then we waited for 15 minutes, but in that 15 minutes was the pork pie. That's why I'm telling you the story, the pork pie. That was the highlight.
Not because it stayed to the end.
Come into that. 10 more minutes of the second half, same stuff going on. I thought, I've had enough of this. So we went home. Yeah, no. I know, this is not a praiseworthy story. And we trudged home. And then about 6 o'clock, they said, the kids said, well, go and have a look, see what the score was. We looked at the score, and Chippenham won. 2-1. Dad, why didn't we stay? Well, I'm not patient, kids. Sometimes in life we have to, this is where I'm drawing it around all of a sudden, sometimes we expect God to answer our prayers straight away, don't we? Nothing's happening, God's not doing anything, we haven't had that medical appointment, cat's still sick, whatever. But sometimes you have to hang in there, persistence. Because God is firing out the blessings all the time. And if God is not answering in that one area in your life, look at all the others. It might be raining, but you've got an umbrella. It might be the most boring football match you've ever been to in your life, but you've got a pork pie. So you're reframing your life towards the blessings that God gives each and every day. And that's a beautiful thing. And I've agreed with the kids that one day we'll go again this season and we'll stay to the end. I might need to take more than one pork pie. Another thing you can do, just trying to be practical, is that something I'm doing is I'm using a hymn book for my praise. And so I'm just starting at the beginning and using those words to help me praise God. Because you've got old and new ways of lifting God's name on high. And that's a great way to kick into your prayer time. You might use the Psalms. There's another thing you can do. But I get up at 5:45. And I kick off with a coffee. I'm in a daze. If I open up my hymn book and start using that, it's easy. And then about 15 minutes, the coffee's really kicking in. And then do you know what I do? I have another coffee. And in that way, I'm engaging with that. So you find the things that help you to engage, to say, thank you, God. All right, what's our mission today? Let's pause. I want you to think about February. It is not necessarily the most joyous of months in the calendar year. Where has God blessed you, or where are you sensing God blessing you? I want you to think about that for a minute. Are there people wanting to share something of a blessing in particular? Not a mini sermon, but a short blessing. Okay, Aidan, Simon over there. I noticed you, Chris, put your hand down. It's fine. Aidan, yeah, over there.
I just thought how great it was to see so many people here this morning, new faces, you know, hear the buzz of it. You know, the Lord's obviously at work in and around Sheldon Road, and how good it is to see the church thriving.
Amen. Thank you. Tammy over here, I'll come to you. Oh, Paul.
Just wanted to say, some of you know that our eldest grandson has special needs, but since he got into a special school at the beginning of this academic year, we can see marked improvements in his speech and his behaviour, so it's been really great.
Thank you. Tammy, and then we'll do Chris.
Hi. A lot of you know about Max, and he has some additional needs as well. Sometimes blessings, I think, come in funny ways. Max is no longer in school, and actually we've seen that as a blessing now as well. His mental health is so much better since he's not been in school. We have putting into place alternative schooling for him. But just, you know, to encourage people that sometimes that what's seen as something that's quite devastating and like how on earth can we move forward actually turns into a blessing. So God actually works in very bizarre ways sometimes. But we are very blessed to have Max at home. I never thought I'd ever say that, actually. But as I say to Andrew, I feel like I'm getting my son back, do you know? So that is a massive blessing. So thank you, Lord, for that.
Chris, over there. Great.
Can you say a prayer for me at the same time, please?
I will do. I'll say a prayer for you today. Anybody else to share? Oh, yeah.
Well, in our family, a couple of the grandsons have been ill. And also, my granddaughter married in September, and her husband was very, very ill. So I've been praying for an ongoing healing for them all. And each time I have news, something's improved. And I just thank Jesus for his ongoing healing for these two grandsons and also my granddaughter's husband, just married. And so I saw him last Sunday and he was looking very well. And we had a prayer before they went home, and he went smiling to the car. Okay.
Thank you. Any others? Ruth at the back, and then I'll do you, Ruth.
Hi. My friend's dad has just passed away, and her mum is very poorly. From the shock of her husband passing, they only knew for about 9 or 10 days that he was going to be going. But what's a blessing is that, and I've talked to her about it, is that she has her family around because so many people don't have a family. So although it's a really, really tough time, there's a great family, so that's a blessing. Yeah. Thank you.
At the back, Aidan.
It seems a bit frivolous, but we were just talking about how spring comes back, and Beryl was saying how it's wonderful that it's fresh and new every time, even though it comes around every year. And Trevor and I had a walk yesterday at our Lavington, and we saw the skylarks. They're actually around, which is lovely. So, yes, take the road to Farley's if you want to see them.
Thank you for sharing those words of blessing. Got to work in different ways. In our series on blessings, we're on week two, officially. I know some groups are doing it faster, slower. And in the going deeper section of our study series, there is a particular focus on the baptism of Jesus. So I'm going to spend just a few minutes, and it will be just a few minutes, and to look at that and see what that relevance that might have for us today. It's from Luke chapter 3, and we read it together, verses 13 to 17. So John the Baptist wades into the river Jordan that he's done many times before, the greatest of the prophets, as Jesus called him at a later time. As he walks in, the mud of the floor of the Jordan is being kicked up, so the water's all muddy. Alongside him is Jesus. So this is no ordinary baptism. For starters, John didn't originally want to do the baptism. He has a deep sense that Jesus was the Messiah, that his ministry was going to be beginning, that Jesus was going to bring the kingdom of God. And so John says to Jesus, why are you wanting me to baptize you? And seeing as you are a sinless one, how come I'm baptizing you? And Jesus replied, John, I need to show my complete and utter identification with humankind. Therefore, you need to baptize me. Jesus could have added, maybe, I've come from the Father God, from the wonder of heaven. I've been born a human baby. I am fully God. I am fully human. I've come to bless all humankind. I've come to inaugurate God's kingdom come. Heaven is invading earth. The mission that God has given to me, the Father God, is about to begin. It's launching, and I need you to baptize me. In the middle of this muddy river, John holds Jesus by the shoulder and the waist. And holding him tight, he plunges Jesus into the muddy Jordan River. Jesus is gone from sight. And then he yanks him up again, out of the water. And as he pours him out of the water, soaking wet, heaven opens as it's described. And a dove comes onto Jesus' head, and it's the Holy Spirit. It's the picture of the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus. And a voice from heaven says, it's the Father God saying this, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased. It's a statement, a spoken blessing of affirmation, confirmation, that Jesus is deeply loved by the Father God. It's not performance related in the sense of his ministry that we have recorded in the Gospels hasn't even begun. Hasn't even started. But he has been loyal to his Father God. He's been obedient to the Father God. In the ordinary everydayness of his life thus far, he's been carrying out the Father's will. And that obedience is the pathway into the blessing. And God's love is not performance-based. God's love for you is not performance-based. It's based on who the Father God is. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Perfect unity, perfect love, and that love being lived out for each one. The opportunity of this wonderful blessing is available to each one of us here, each one of us in our local community. There are blessings for everybody, but there's that deeper blessing of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. That wonderful relationship that is available to each one of us if we say yes to Him. He forgives our sins. He breaks into our lives. He gives us a relationship that lasts not just in the ordinary everydayness of life, but through all eternity. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And He says, come join me in the mission. Come live with me forever. It's a beautiful truth and a beautiful reality. Maybe today is your day where you say, Jesus, please come into my life. Jesus, please forgive me. Jesus, I accept your promise. That Jesus, I want to live for you the rest of my life. And the promise is that the Holy Spirit comes and then dwells in you and will never leave you, never forsake you. And then you know who to say thank you to for all the blessings you receive each and every day. But how is baptism a blessing today? Expressions of baptism come in different forms. For example, you've got infant or baby baptism, where there's exampling the prevenient grace of God. Prevenient meaning, it's a fancy word for saying God's blessing and God's work is happening before even this child knows anything about God or this infant. God's prevenient grace. An alternative to that, it's not a baptism, but it's a baby blessing. And in the baby blessing service, it's saying thank you to God for the child, as is a baptism, but it's saying, please bless this child through their lives. Please may they come to faith. And when they make that personal commitment at an older age, then they can be baptized like Jesus in the Jordan. Baptism by immersion is for the Jesus follower, somebody that's already become a Christian. And they reenact what Jesus has done. They're plunged underwater and then they emerge again. Sometimes it's done on this church. They've done it in a river, I believe. But you can do it on sometimes places have a large bathtub. Some churches already have a pool where that can happen. It's a passing through water, symbolizing the removal of sin, symbolizing death, and then that resurrection again coming out of the water. It's a picture of dying with Christ and rising to new life. Old life gone, new life begun, new blessedness. And it's only ever done once. It's not like a, you know, covenant service or something you do every year. Once. It's a blessing to identify with Christ himself. It's a blessing to complete the command of Christ. Because all people be baptized. If you do that as an adult, it's a physical, tangible date reminder that I'm a follower of God. It's an encouragement to those around, just like the conversations that we've been having and those messages that we've been hearing about blessings. It's wonderful. Oh, yeah, God's working in that person's life. So you bless other people. It's a witness statement, in effect. So what do you do with that? Well, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today and you feel that you or a family member, if they're little, should be baptized or blessed, then come and see me. We'll get that organized, some way, shape, or form. If today you're not yet a Jesus follower, well, as I mentioned earlier, maybe this is your day. Whichever of those two you are, basically, you're still blessed. But why not pursue the deeper blessing? That of going ever deeper in Christ. And I've given you two possibilities today, which is prayer walking, or not, well, no, more praise walking. And we say it out loud. Now, at 7:15 in the morning, that's no problem. But if you're doing it at lunchtime, you might want to. And in that hymn book or a psalm, something to help you get going. Because God wants to bless, and He wants to bless, and He wants to bless. And even as Tammy was saying, when you have a situation and you think this is going really, really bad, God's got a plan. So hang in there. I'm speaking as one who doesn't hang in there when it comes to football. But we've done that already. We know where we're going with that. But hang in there. It seems so bad, so difficult. Trust God. It is mysterious. It is strange. But He's working out His purposes. And you might be going through a calamity after calamity after calamity. But God's using it somehow for good. And do you know how you have to handle that? By faith. And when you do that by faith, it's accredited to you as righteousness. That's a big deal. When you live a life that's right with God, it's not based on the circumstances you're in, it's based on the reality that in whatever those circumstances are, God is with you. So hold on tight. Cheer yourself up with the occasional mince pie or pork pie. But God will see you through. And one day when you step into eternity like my Uncle Ken, there's somebody waiting for him. There's a lot of people waiting for him. And one of them is Jesus. Because He said yes to the deeper blessing of fellowshipping, living with Jesus as His center. May it be that we all become disciples, or a more helpful word these days would be apprentices, ongoing learning people together for Jesus, for His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as in heaven, heaven invading earth. And the more that happens, watch out and see what God does. Amen.